I'm Brendan McCormack, and welcome to the Perth Fit Fan Podcast, where you get to hear from the best thought leaders and change makers from across the Perth fitness scene. In today's episode, we're catching up with nutrition and strength coach Alan Mao. Not only does he help his clients, but in 2017, he also won the ICN Mr. WA, Mr. Queensland, and came third place in his class within Australia. If you love what we do, then you can become a supporter of Perth Fit Fan by joining our fan subscriptions on Facebook and gain access to exclusive content, discounts on merch, and more. And make sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher for your chance to win a Perth Fit Fan shirt, which we'll be giving away at the end of every show. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
That's good, Sensei. Do you like being called Sensei?
Yeah.
Excellent. That's going to be Sensei Mao. Oh, Billy's getting the loves as well. Excellent. All right. I better put that down.
All right. Alan Mao.
Right.
Welcome to the party.
Brendo, thank you. Thank you very much.
That's okay. So we just finished up at the ICN posing workshop.
Yeah.
With Sam. They did an awesome job there.
Awesome. I loved it.
And you and Harris were helping with the posing. So how many people? There was a couple of hundred people there, yeah?
Yeah, it was a lot of people. Like basically a lot of fitness, bikini, physique and things like that. But yeah, it's good to see like people come into like workshop on that, and especially season A as well, which means, I mean, usually season B would be like the bigger show, so it should be even more people coming to hopefully the next season as well. So
it's funny with the different federations how the seasons vary depending on the federation. So IFBB usually has, IFBB Pro League really usually has a big season A because that's around the Arnold's time, whereas ICN, it's usually season B.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what I believe you won a couple of years ago in WA.
Yes, 2017. It's almost 2 years ago.
Yeah. Mm. So for people that don't know you, because you're pretty new to Perth.
Yeah.
And just to give people some context, so you did win Mr. WA. But you flew over here and competed because you were coaching
Harris.
Yeah. So people that know Harris T. Hack, people who don't, you know him now, who's the regional manager of Nutrition Warehouse in Western Australia. So essentially you were his coach. You came over to give him some help, decided to jump up on stage, won the division, which was probably the most stacked open men's division that I've seen. So yourself, Sean McClaney, who else was in that lineup? Fabs was in that lineup?
No, he wasn't because he's a radio pro, I think.
Okay.
But there's Johnny. I think there's a lot of few other really good guys.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. And you won it. And then you ended up winning overall and was offered a pro card, which you declined.
Yeah. So, yeah, I actually did. So I got into that. I didn't realize that once you take the pro card, you can't actually do all the other shows, I guess amateur shows. And there was only one show in that year for the pros, which is at the Nationals. So I had to decline that because I had all the shows booked, obviously, for myself and all the clients as well. So that's the reason why I declined for the WA Pro Car. So I went to, so I can do the other shows in other states.
So Brisbane was the main show that you wanted to do. You went over there and won that as well.
Yeah.
And then declined your Pro Car a second time.
Yeah. I definitely regretted that one because, so obviously, the reasons because obviously I thought, you know, I can, if I don't take the pro card, I can do all the shows with everyone, with all the boys. And but I could have still take the pro card and still go down to Nationals and just do the pro show instead of the amateur shows. But I think obviously one reason, because obviously I had a pretty successful season. And I was like, you know what? I want to, if you want to take the pro card, I want to win it at Nationals. So
okay.
To actually solidify that, I guess that's how I see the pro status, which is the way they're doing it now. So you can only take a pro card now if you win your class at the Nationals.
Yes.
So that was my goal. That's the reason at the time why I turned down the second one.
Okay.
Which I definitely regret it now because obviously it's a lot tougher and there's so many, you know, great competitors coming from over all over the country. So it's definitely going to be a tough one. So
Except you won before. You'll be able to come back in and win it again. I just find it a funny story that you actually turned it down twice. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
So, most people are taking their pro card straight away. You got to update that Insta bio.
Yeah. I guess, like I said at the time, you know, like obviously it's cool, you know, it's been a pro and things like that. But I guess for me, you know, I wanted to, I guess, take the pro card because I'm actually the best in the country.
Yeah.
So I think that's how you know, how I view it anyway.
Agreed.
But yeah.
Yeah, agreed. I think like just building the new federation, they were obviously establishing the pro
getting more
that pro league, or the that
the pro ranking, which they've obviously done now. So as we mentioned, you only moved to Perth towards the end of last year. So you're kind of like establishing yourself here, but were quite successful as a coach back in Brisbane where you work for Flex Success. So tell us a little bit about your background. So your background as a coach, what qualifications you have, what you specialize in, and a little bit about Flex Success.
Okay, cool. So the way I got into the industry, it's probably very unconventional. So I, you know, I guess you could say the typical Asian kid, you know, coming here, moving to Australia, and I went to uni, studied business and finance and everything like that. You know, that was always going to be, I guess, what I thought my career should be or what I was taught anyway. And obviously I love training and bodybuilding. So I've been doing that since I was 17, 18, since I moved here. And through that, I kind of developed obviously an interest in, like, you know, improving my knowledge and finding a better way to, you know, in regards to nutrition and training to find the optimal results. And throughout the time, I also, because of the interest in competing, I prepped myself for my first show and also prepped a friend of mine at the time, a friend of mine as well for his teenage class. And then just, yeah, pretty much I didn't had a plan to be a PT or become a coach or anything like that. It kind of just molded off on that because I generally wanted to, I guess I was interested in it and I want to help people. And then I was like, cool, you know, I had a few friends, like for some, like prep Harris for the second show, first show, just because, you know, he wanted someone to guide him through. I was like, well, I love this. You know, let's do it together. You know what I mean? So, and then it's because of that, that's kind of how I met Dean McCullough. And Lizzie, who are the founder of Flex Success.
So they're the owners of Flex. Yep. And I interviewed Dean a couple of years ago. So I'll put the links in with the interview with him in the show notes for this.
Yeah. So I met Dean. And so it's kind of funny how it worked out, how everything's worked out. So Dean was a regional manager in New South Wales for Nutrition Warehouse. And we were sort of in a lot of the online forums and things like the Facebook groups and things like that for the same thing, like, you know, in regards to nutrition and training and stuff. Obviously, we chat to each other on a, you know, daily basis in regards to, you know, anything, comp prep and things like that. So we share a lot of similar views. So he was getting a lot of people asking him to help them. And then so eventually they were like, you know what, why don't we start a company and make it official? So Lizzie was kind of pushing him to do that. And then they did. And then a few months later, they started getting a lot of I guess inquiry and stuff, and then they were like, well, we can't, because everyone was still doing it part-time at the time. So they were like, well, I kind of need someone else to come on board. Then they reached out to me, which I didn't really have any, I guess, formal coaching experience, because you see a lot of people do, they'll start off as PT and then go into the online space, whereas this was back in 2015, where I was like, all right, I've, I guess, you know, helped enough people and I do enjoy it, and then I guess see if you can make some sort of financial gain from there, helping people and helping more people. It's like, cool, let's jump in. So just jump straight into the deep end. And, but it wasn't until, like, I would say end of 2017, that's when I sort of realized that, you know what, this is what I want to do this full time. So what happened is, even up until that time, even though I've been coaching for a little while, I still see myself as, like, that's why I was still doing the master's in finance, because I thought that, you know, I need to find a career. And I never see myself being able to do this as a career.
Yeah.
And then something happened with one of my clients. His name is Gabriel. He lives in Sydney. He's awesome. And he's like 50. He's almost 50 now.
Yeah.
And so he was one of my earliest clients. And it was really cool. So basically the experience I had with him really helped me to sort of realize that, shit, like, I really love this and I want to do this and take the risk and do this, you know, as a career.
What was the experience that you had with him?
Yeah, so what happened is, so he was actually one of the clients that I wasn't sure if he was very compliant, because we have all this, obviously being the online business, we have different coaching people through online, we have different online, I guess, coaching folders and things like that that clients need to fill out each week.
Yeah.
So he wasn't giving much feedback, like, for the first, I'd say, 12 to 16 weeks or whatever, but he was getting the results. But I wasn't getting much interactions from him. But he was looking better, so I assumed he was doing well. And it was one day I received this email. It was like a massive email, just basically how I remember clearly, he's like, you know, how appreciative he was, and I've just completely changed his life. Now, you know, he
because he was overweight, never really been to the gym. And now he can, you know, not just, obviously he looks good now, his six packs and things like that.
Wicked.
But the biggest thing for him was that now he can go and play with the kids and run with the kids. And he's been able to keep up, and he can see himself now I can live longer, and also being able to see my kids grow up. So that was like really touching for me, that I was able to impact someone in a positive way like that. And yeah, pretty much after that. And then he, 6 months later, he started studying Surf 3 and 4.
Oh, wow.
So that kind of, I guess, through the experience, I didn't realize I can have such a positive impact on other people. And that gave me a huge satisfaction. And obviously, throughout the time, Flex kind of grew. That's when I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. Like, you know, I'm going to take the risk and do it. And yeah, and here we are. Flex is going well. And we've got some, a couple of new coaches as well coming on board. So it's not, if you think about it, it's kind of like, it's a short amount of time, but at the same time, it's like, as you're going through it, it feels like it's, you know, it's been like years. So
what qualification, like from, because it's a short amount of time. So what qualifications did you get?
So I went in, obviously done like the strength and conditioning course. I've got the sports nutrition specialist and things like that. So they just, or I guess I didn't go to uni to study exercise science or anything like that.
I didn't go to uni anyway, like a, man, either. I didn't go to uni.
It was just obviously, I guess, more so for personal development. It just kind of worked out that I can utilize those qualifications to, you know, actually I think help with like the coaching side of things as well.
So, and help people achieve the results, which is obviously the end goal. Is helping people get there. So you talked about helping people with their diets early in the game and your own. So what was your diet principles and philosophies back then, and how has that changed in compared to what you do now?
This is probably very typical, and you probably did the same thing as well. You remember all the Flex magazine?
Yes.
Yeah, we used to buy it every month. So that's when I
was Muscle Mag. Muscle Mag was my jam.
Yeah. So when I used to buy it every month, right? Because before that, I used to play basketball. So that's actually how I got into training. I used to play basketball. And then the reason I got into the gym, because I moved all the way from Taiwan. So that's where I grew up. And obviously, I needed to be stronger and I want to be able to dunk. So I started doing weight training. But
can
obviously, clearly, no. And clearly, I'm not built for basketball, right?
No.
So, and neither am I. But I started, that sort of led me to start doing, I guess, training in the gym. So I started doing leg training and things like that, just so I can get stronger and do a lot of plyometrics and things like that. And yeah, so from there, obviously developed a love for, I guess, seeing my body changes and things like that and bodybuilding. And so buying magazines for bodybuilding instead of basketballs and reading into that, I was like, all right, so this is what Ronnie Coleman eats. This is what Jack Collar eats. And I started following, like, okay, 6 eggs in the morning, bowl bolts, you know, the amount of, you know, chicken, rice, and tuna, whatever that we used to eat.
Yeah.
That's because that's what we thought it's going to get us big.
Yeah, chicken, rice, broccoli.
Yeah, and then, like, over a period of time, like, I guess that's sort of when, like, the internet started, you know, little people started to putting out more content and videos, and it was back in 2011, 12. On the like bodybuilding forums and things like that. I think Lane Norton, he did like a Life as a Natural Pro, something like that, a bodybuilding series. That's sort of like my first interaction with, like, I guess, the evidence-based approach to nutrition and training. That's probably in 2012. And then that's all like, oh, this make a lot of sense to me. This is logic to me, because I do not need to be eating that way or trend that way because I'm a different individual. And then there's, you know, I'm never gonna go into loop like Ronnie Coleman, right?
No.
So that, why would I follow the exact same diet that he's eating?
So
from Lane Norton, and there's a lot of other people, like, you know, 3DMJ and things like that, started to learn about more evidence-based approach to nutrition.
3DMJ? Who's that?
So they are a group of coaches from the States. Eric Helms, so probably one of the main guys, Alberto.
So we had Dan Ecto on. The reason why I wanted to do this podcast especially was I had so many people from the Perth Fit Fam community that loved Dan's nutrition speech so much. And I know that he's great and you're great. So I wanted to chat down with someone else who's great. And he actually mentioned that they were the guys that he follows.
Yeah, exactly. So they were sort of like one of the pioneers, if you will, putting out information online. And also Lyle McDonald, I love his stuff. I read all his books, Guide to Flexible Dieting. I'll recommend anyone if you want to.
Who's that?
Lyle McDonald. So he's written a lot of books, and the latest books I think is on basically women physiology, like, you know, how to treat women and things like that. I enjoyed all his stuff, just I guess, oh, you know, t- tons of information on research and based on research and evidence-based and things like that, that kind of approach to nutrition. And that's kind of how, and I've been that guy where, you know, do you remember like If You Fit Your Macro, right?
Yes.
Back in the day, I've been that guy where I would like post the photos of my food I was eating, ice cream or whatever that may be. And I said, oh, I can eat this and get lean and things like that. So I was that douchebag and putting trying to prove people wrong.
Explain to me then.
Yeah.
Because essentially when you're talking evidence-based, you're talking flexible dieting is what you're saying.
Yes, I guess you can say that. Yeah, part of it in regards to your approach to nutrition. But like my interpretation of, I guess, evidence-based is, I guess, utilize information based on, you know, the current available research. And obviously that's constantly evolving as well. And it applied that into and having an understanding of obviously basic human physiology and things like that and apply that to nutrition and training, I guess, that makes sense.
So I've got a question for you on like evidence-based, and this has been like fluid with current research.
Yeah.
If for instance, and this is a hypothetical, if for instance, keto had enough research to produce a certain kind of response, sorry, we're still going.
Yeah.
Would you then recommend it if there was enough evidence around it?
Yeah, for sure. And I'm not against keto at all, but I think, and this kind of goes back to the point, I can definitely see that being a beneficial approach to certain people.
Yes.
But I guess there is, the point is that, you know, there's no one diet approach for anyone, because at the end of the day, it comes down to like how that particular diet approach suits your lifestyle. Obviously as well as helping you achieve a certain body composition goal.
Yeah.
Cause so for some people it could be intermittent fasting. For some people that could, if that allowed them to, you know, feeding their food based on their schedule, if they're a shift worker and things like that, so they want to prioritize their sleep. Or for certain people, I guess, optimize performance. Like I said, go back to your point. And I said, if someone, say, come on with the research, say keto is better for performance or whatever, I think I will only apply that to someone that can live that lifestyle. If they, you know, if they enjoy carbs and things like that, and I wouldn't force them to follow a keto approach just because that is better on paper, but it's not necessarily optimal for them.
So we're talking about sustainability here.
100%.
So there's a combination. So you've got a bit of an art versus science. Obviously, you want to go down the most evidence. And by the way, I want to clarify to anyone listening, I wasn't recommending a keto diet. I was just using a hypothetical saying, hey, if there was enough evidence. Mm. And what I like about your answer is you're flexible to your knowledge saying, hey, maybe there's things that I don't know and maybe we're going to learn new things in the future and you're going to adapt to be flexible to that, which I don't think a lot of people is. Once they have their mantra, then that's all they're going to stick to.
Because like that's so important, right? Because there might be a certain diet strategy. Let's say it's on paper is the most optimum, but if that doesn't suit your lifestyle and it cannot sustain that, then that is not optimum for you. Same applies to training, right? If that's, you know, most people agree, you know, squat, bench and deadlift are great foundation exercise they can do to build overall strength, things like that. But if for someone that their body just isn't built to do those exercises, they're long femurs or whatever, they can't squat optimally, then there's no point forcing them to do that to try and get a certain result when you just going to go one step forward, two step back. Whereas you can say, oh, maybe we'll do leg press or hex squat or whatever that can allow them to make more sustainable progress and make more long-term progress, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's a very important point because most people try to, I guess that's probably like the when you go too deep and into like the evidence base, like, okay, this is what the science says now. So I'm going to apply that straight away because that's what I think is the best. And you put that onto your client, whereas it doesn't really suit their lifestyle, then it's not going to work.
Yeah. So then as a coach, what are some of the biggest, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you find your clients making and how do you help?
The clients making? Okay, cool. So then this applies to both Gen Pop and obviously prep clients as well.
Yes.
So these are two, I guess, demographics that we work with.
Yep.
I would say number one thing is definitely compliance and consistency.
That's it. Hey, that's the foundational thing.
That's it. Yeah.
People will try any single diet and treat it like a silver bullet. But unless they're compliant and they're consistent,
you're not going to get results,
right? You can have
the
best diet plan in the world and it is not going to make a difference.
Yeah, exactly. And then I guess that's the one thing that we focus a lot on is again, you know, goal is actually the point, finding the nutrition strategy or training modality that suits your lifestyle that can allow you to make long-term progress. Sure, you know, like we always seen so many people that follow like the latest fat diet, like, you know, lose like 10 kilos over 12 weeks or whatever, or any sort of thing that you see on the internet.
Yeah.
But how many people actually being able to sustain that? Like, you can't live like that for the rest of your life. Like, you can't only drink shakes for the rest of your life. Most of us have a job, family and kids and things like that. So sure, some people can able to do that for a short period of time, but at some point they're going to go back to their lifestyle
habits,
and which means what happens then is because they're going through this extreme approach, they're going to swing the other way, which is you see a lot of often that's when people get into this yo-yo dieting mindset.
Yeah,
they force themselves to do something for 12 weeks, can't sustain that, put all the way back on because they've been following such a restricted approach. Then put it all the way back on. They feel so guilty, feel so shit about themselves. What do you do next? Look for the next one, right?
Yeah.
Look for the next new thing and just do the same thing again and again and again. I guess what I try and I guess what Fexa says, it's all, I guess, what we are trying to teach clients that like trying to find a nutrition strategy that can allow you to still live your life the way you currently are, because at the end of the day, you have to make some certain sacrifices, right?
Yeah, you can't eat ice cream and chocolate and pizza every day.
Yeah, but we can make the least amount of sacrifice, but still allow you to make that progress. Because as you go into that, you can see, holy shit, I can still go out and have a drink on Fridays and Saturday every now and then. I can still have ice cream or chocolates, whatever, here and there. As long as I'm compliant for the most part,
yeah,
you are still going to see results. So you know that you are able to make that decision. It's a conscious choice of like, you know, that's what people talk about, like having a better relationship with food.
Yeah.
So you no longer see food as like, I guess, the perception that we have towards it, good or bad, healthy or not.
Yeah.
Now you see food as obviously nutrition value and to fuel whatever your goal is.
Yeah.
To help you get there. And that way you have to, the goal is at it, by the end of this or the coaching or whatever, you're able to have the knowledge to be able to do this for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And that's how someone can make a progress and also sustain that.
Yeah.
But it's also very important because there's also people think, like, okay, so that means flexible dieting. That means like there's no suffering. There's no restriction. I can just do whatever I want, right?
Yeah.
But it's not. You still have to be able to learn how to restrict yourself within reasons.
Yeah.
So that way one day you're able to achieve that, I guess, positive relationship with food and have that freedom of choice, if you will.
So for practical advice for people on that, so they understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
So when you say to be able to give them something with the least amount of sacrifice for the result, so how do you track that? You guys utilize macros to make that happen, don't you?
Correct. So obviously when a client coming on board, depending on where they are, right? So I'll give you a good example. Say if someone is, I guess, extremely overweight, I'm not going to just give them a diet plan that's completely changed the way they eat. What I'll start is, okay, let's start making little changes, right? Let's say, you know, maybe switch your sugary drinks, soft drinks. Let's switch them to like, you know, Coke Zero and sugar-free drinks and things like that. And let's change, if you put butter on your toast, let's change that to like, you know, low-fat butters and things like that, low-fat margarines or whatever.
Okay.
And just making small changes. So we have like a sort of when a client come on board with like a food preference list, essentially food preference list has different food sources, like, you know, from protein source, carb source and fat source and whatever that. And also there's list of like things they must have and also things they never want to use. So essentially we'll build a diet based on the information that they provide us. So it's like, okay, the diet is what you say you can eat and what you enjoy eating. Obviously within reasons, as long as we can make it work, obviously still have to make sure you hit your macronutrient targets, as well as obviously making sure you're getting enough fiber, getting the fruit and vegetables and things like that, just for your overall health. But after that, we can say, you know, we can, if you really enjoy, like say, like have a chocolate bar a day, we can make that work. So that way you can, I guess, have that balance where, you know, you can still enjoy the, so you look forward to eating.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, oh, it's chicken and broccoli again.
Oh, it's the worst. It's, it's boring. By the time you get to the end of those diets, you never want to eat chicken again. I just have a question for you I want to come in with. So I come from a space where I would never eat a low-fat margarine or a fake food with like trans fats or just not real.
Yeah.
So then what's your take on that side of stuff with recommending like low-fat butters or low-fat margarines?
Again, so if a client said that they can only have like the real thing, then I'll have a conversation with them. Okay, well, so if you can only eat real butter, sure, we can definitely do that.
Yep.
But these are the other sacrifices that you have to make in order to achieve this goal.
Yep.
So it really comes down to like, it's about, to me, coaching is about finding the balance between what the client want and what the client need. Find that happy medium to help them achieve their goal.
Yep.
Especially for Gen Pop, I think.
Yeah. Well, that was actually going to be my question. Yeah. What's the difference between Gen Pop, so a person who just wants to lose a bit of weight, and compared to an athlete, like let's say a CrossFit athlete that needs to get under sub 11, or a bodybuilding athlete that gets sub 6% body fat?
So I guess that comes down to like, you know, the one thing I'll say, then it comes down to like, let's say for an athlete, right? If you have a particular goal of getting ready for comp, obviously you understand that your life, that's what your life is about.
Yeah.
Again, for example, for the client, say they are a comfort client, they understand in 20 weeks, I'm going to step on stage, this is my goal. Or 20 weeks, I have a powerlifting comp or CrossFit comp, whatever. So you are able to dedicate your whole life towards that. So first thing I'll say, the difference, most of the cases, the client should be more willing to, I guess, make more sacrifices to make that happen in terms of like, you know, make sure you go to bed early, make sure you optimize your sleep, optimize your hydration, and then make sure you are complying with everything. It means you may not able to, you know, go out and social as frequent as you like.
Yeah.
But they were going to make those sacrifices regardless what diet approach they're going to make anyway.
Yeah.
Especially if the clients that actually want to, you're an athlete that actually want to achieve a certain outcome.
Yeah.
Then I guess the approach difference comes into like, I will make sure more things, like I will measure and control as many variables as I can. And there's no like, I guess, less room for error, if you will.
Yeah.
Because you're working against the timeline also for optimization as well.
Sure.
Whereas for Gen Pop, let's say, you know, we'll kind of say, you know, oh, I'm going out for a work function this Friday. So we have clients that will make sure they tell us like, okay, what are their plans for the week and what's their lifestyle like, to say, so if they always say function on Friday night, we say, all right, so where are you going? What's the menu and what will you be eating, most likely be eating? They'll send us a menu. We'll say, okay, this is the option that you can have, and it will change your diet throughout the day to help them.
You actually go to that extent?
Yes, for most of my clients, if they are able to send us the information so we can help them. Because that way, and also over time, by doing that, they can also see, oh, so here's how I can make changes, right?
Yeah.
So that's not a huge part. I guess the education component that we have is have like a learning exercise that clients go through each week to help them say, so here's how you can monitor your nutrition. Here's how you can change foods and things like that. So by us helping them do that, eventually they'll be able to, hopefully, having the understanding was like, okay, I can now, let's say if I want to have a couple of drinks on a Friday night,
they know how to factor that in.
Yeah, and then without adjusting, right? But whereas for an athlete, you know, that's probably out of the table. And I will say for myself, I would like to, so for a lot of clients with Gen Pop and things like that, once they have the understanding, I'll say, all right, I feel comfortable just giving them the numbers and then they can fit in the fields or whatever. And I'll just look over their entry and things like that. But for athletes, I will make sure that everything's under my control.
Yeah. So it comes down to dedication.
Yeah.
And willingness to sacrifice.
Yeah.
Now, you spent quite a bit of time in the subs industry as well.
Mm.
Now, I didn't ask Dan England this when I did his interview, so I thought it would be interesting to get your side of things. Are you big on supplementation? What are your top go-to supplements for yourself and for others? Well, we'll start off with that.
And this is probably going to be surprising and boring, but the go-to supplement recommendations are usually, for myself at least, I'll recommend to my clients, I would say, multivitamin, fish oil, vitamin D, magnesium. Those are my go-to ones, as I think are essential just for your overall health. And for performance-wise, a protein powder, if you want to use a protein powder to help you hit your protein target.
Anything specifically? Like as far as whey, vegan, collagen?
If a vegan client, then obviously plant-based protein, or really, I guess I would tend to pick a few brands that I know it's reputable, and obviously they're actually putting like true protein.
yeah,
shameless plug.
Without even having a plug, but it's a high quality product.
So,
it's natural.
So you know what's in it. If he says like you're getting 31 grams of protein, you know you're actually getting 31 grams of protein. So that can make a difference, right?
Yeah.
So recommending things like that. Brands like that. So protein powder, and then as far as performance wise, I would say creatine. That's probably, I think, if you're a performance athlete, that's probably the
just basic monohydrate.
Best bang for your buck, you know, that can actually see benefits.
It's and, something that's been proven over and over again to get a result.
Anything outside of that also really comes into like the client's needs. For example, we get asked a lot, like, you know, should I take a pre-workout? Should I take a fat burners? Or should I take a weight gain and things like that? I guess all these things are, you know, because at the end of the day, supplementation, they are to fill out the gaps in your nutrition.
Yes.
So you will only pick things, I guess, choosing the right tool for the right job to help you achieve a particular goal.
Yeah.
So for example, for pre-workout wise, it's not going to give you any magical benefits and make you all of a sudden squat 300 kilo, right?
No.
But you know, for some people that, you know, it's like, I like to compare to like, you know, why people like to drink coffee first in the morning, even though they don't need to drink coffee and being able to do their job, but it helps them get more focus, wake them up, feel more energy and things like that. So I guess pre-workout is kind of the same way, right? So if you say work 18-hour day and afternoon, if you're really tired, sure, you don't need a pre-workout to work out. But for some people, just to give you a bit of an energy boost so they can get focused and get into the training, and perhaps a bit of a placebo effect as well. So you can get more out of your training sessions and actually tick off the goal that you're trying to achieve. That is benefiting and for supplementation, right? It's benefiting you. So,
do you think a placebo is good if it's still doing its job, even though it's not technically working?
And I get asked a lot in regards to, and this is how my take on it, even though I know, for example, test booster for guys, that's a very common one, right?
Very common.
So,
and I'm going to run, so people know, I'm actually going to run an experiment this year on this.
Yeah, that'll be awesome to see. So obviously, you know, as far as I guess what's generally available to us, what we can see, there's really nothing can really make a significant difference, especially obviously for natural athletes, and especially if you are really in the normal range.
Yeah.
In saying that, if someone said, you know, they want to take like certain test boosts or whatever, and if they just feel better on it, even though I know it's probably not doing much, but if they just generally feel better and they can afford it, say why not? You know, you can go for that. So.
And you applied this to your life, because I know that we've had this discussion before about if test boosters work. And during your comp prep, you actually used a herbal test booster, even though you knew that it probably wasn't going to do anything. But you had the budget to do it, and you just wanted insurance just in case.
Just in
you were
case, prepping. So that's pretty much my view on it. But like I say, if I wasn't able to afford that, I'll definitely put that money somewhere else.
It wouldn't be on the hit list. So the main ones were fish oil, multivitamins, vitamin D, magnesium, creatine.
And creatine,
cool. We're going to list those in the show notes as well for people. Who's the best people that you've learned of? Who's inspired you the most? And who do you recommend to follow?
Okay, so sorry, what's the first one?
So all the same thing. So who have you learned the most of?
Yeah.
Who has inspired you, and who do you recommend to follow? So essentially,
I would say, I know this is probably sound like very cliche, but definitely Dim McCullough.
I knew he was going to be first.
And Lizzie Roller, just because, you know, I'm very grateful for the opportunity that I have, and I wouldn't be able to do what I do, and also kind of be the person that I am today if it wasn't for them.
And Dean, by the way, Dean won. Dean's a great athlete himself.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll put photos in the show notes too of Dean. So Dean looks like a little Flex Lewis. He won the IFBB Queensland under 90s.
Yeah.
And he also came second in Australia under 90s.
Yeah.
Very, very close second.
Although he said he's a hobby builder, so he doesn't really care about bodybuilding.
He's every now and then
for fun, but
he's an extremely good hobby builder.
Yeah, so they honestly, obviously, for me, you know, they have made it such a difference that really pushed me into the right direction, and I cannot be more thankful to have a better mentor.
Yep.
And also guys I currently follow, Luke Tollock, which is another guy on the team. I know.
So you've told me to to contact Luke. So I'm going to get Luke on the podcast after, like in a little bit when it's time to do another nutrition one. Dan England recommended Luke as well, so I'll get him on.
Yeah, so he's not a guy that I'm currently following and learning a lot from. And like I said, the other guys that I mentioned previously, like pretty much all the 3DMJ coaches, Eric. So I still follow Lane Saw a lot, and I still follow a lot of Lyle McDonald stuff. So I really love their stuff. And would be the main guys that I recommend, and they all put out a lot of free content online. Yes. So if you want to learn, that are awesome guys to go to, right? And you can actually read and learn yourself. And yeah, so the reason looks because obviously I'm actually want to upskill myself. So I'm learning about, you know, the advanced physiology and things like that, just getting a better understanding of how things work and things like that. So I think, you know, one thing that I've learned is definitely the more you learn, the more you know, the more you realize that you don't know. Especially, I guess, in this coaching space. So I guess it's important, you know, I'll be doing my clients a disservice if I'm not constantly upskilling and learning more so I can provide them more information as well.
You know what's in common? So any of the great coaches, like nutrition or strength coaches, so in WA, every single one, they will recommend following a macros program, number one. They're all extremely upskilled. So they all focus on like increasing their education. Basically, everything that you've said today is like a snapshot of a top coach. So if I put out a list on these are the top coaches that you can go see, you guys will all have a very similar profile as far as like your values, what you follow, and the current science which is out there. Even the people that you guys follow, it's a very, very tight-knit circle, which is, I think, an interesting trend.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then obviously, especially with the social media and the stuff that you guys are doing at Perth FitBend as well, interviewing people, putting out so much content that is available to the general population, right? So that way people can get educated for free so they can understanding all this stuff and apply it to themselves, and they don't have to go through all those, like the stuff that, the dumb stuff that we used to do, you know what I mean? So guys can be able to do that the right way from the start.
Yeah.
So,
and I learned too, which is awesome. What's your favorite food?
Oh, it has to be Japanese, man. I'm very basic, but I love Japanese. Like sashimi is my favorite.
Mr. Munchies?
And yes, that's really good. I actually really like that. And ramen.
That's my favorite. Yeah, that's a good one.
I know you guys love that too. So,
Best book you've read?
At the moment, it would be Barefoot Investor.
Barefoot Investor. We got you onto that one.
That's definitely the most useful. Obviously, you guys recommended me that. So that's really, I'm applying that, and it's really helpful for me because I'm very bad. Bad with managing
money. I use that as a parallels as a macro, as a flexible diet, is it's essentially the same thing. You're giving yourself allowances and you work within that.
Yeah, it's a strategy, right? And then, but how you apply that is what really suits your lifestyle and your situation, which is, like you said, exactly the same as, you know, applying that to your nutrition, right? Like I remember you asking me like, you know, because I was talking about managing money and you told me to read a Barefoot Investor and you were like, well, if you were dieting, and would you go off your macros? So it's the same thing.
Same thing.
That,
so. It's very, very simple to follow. Now, last thing which I wanted to touch on, which I usually say, so what would be your final piece of advice for people? But we spoke about it off camera, and it was something that you're really passionate about. So I'm going to lead you into it, and you want to talk about people competing. And I'm just going to let you take it from here.
Yeah. So and this is, I guess, one of something I'm really passionate about, and. Having a lot of conversation with people as well. There's obviously more and more people competing, which is awesome, right? We want to get into health and fitness, but I think there's also a side to that, the other side to that, that most people don't see until you actually been through that, which is, you know, at the end of the day, getting on stage in opposing suits and in a tan, it's not the healthiest thing to do to our body. That's why we can't sustain that for a long period of time. And I think a lot of the people, guys and girls, but I think for girls especially, you see a lot is, you know, on social media, we see a girl compete and things like that. We instantly recognize that or see that or perceive that as that's what health and fitness mean. That's what being fit means, right?
Yeah.
But in reality, and you've been there yourself, you know, when you're on stage, getting stage ready, this. It's literally the opposite of
health
if you look at it from the standpoint of, I guess, just basic biology, right? So you're such a low level of body fat, which means you don't have spare energy. So by definition, you should probably closer to dying, if you will. I know it sounds very extreme, but it's kind of in there, right? So
health and fitness, whilst they're not exclusive, they're not the same thing. They're two very, very different things.
Yeah.
And whilst having better health can mean a better form of fitness, they are not the same
thing. Yeah, of course, yeah. So I guess what I'm trying to say is like people see that as like, oh, that's the definition of like fit or whatever that, you know, see, you know, people on stage and things like that.
Yeah.
And obviously there's also, and something that people don't really touch on about is that I guess it can be damaging to your body, especially if you go about it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Or, you know, crash diet or whatever that you do to get on stage. At the end of the day, the competition is always be the right. So always focus on chasing a physique, build a physique first before you can get on stage. And I guess the negative side about competing is that you see a lot of people at times, they compete every season, right? Because after the comp, because they've been so deprived and everything, from eating and social life and whatever, and they put all the way back on and binge, and then the only way for them to, and then they feel so bad about themselves and the way they look or whatever, and the only way for them to feel better again is to go through another comp prep and to look like the stage ready again.
Yeah.
Which again, it's definitely not the healthy thing to do to your body. And, you know, like, just, I know this is probably, it's going to be a very controversial topic, but you know, it's a lot of time, and people don't really talk about this. And I think, and actually there should be more conversation about this. It's not uncommon to see a lot of girls lose their menstrual cycle.
Yeah. You know, very, very common.
And things like that. So,
yep.
Like I don't want to say it's easier for guys, but there's definitely intense of mental and health, like psychological and physiological health. I think for guys, it can be a little bit easier to get over that because, you know, let's say, you know, post-comp, you know, I gain like 10, 15 kilos. I don't really care.
No.
You know, but for girls, that is something that's, you know, can be very damaging if that's a word. And then some people can't handle that. And that's why they go through another comp prep to be able to feel good about themselves. But then they're constantly chasing that image.
Sure.
Which in the process of doing that, you know, it's definitely not the healthiest thing to do to your body. And obviously, so what I will suggest, obviously, for people, and I always, when clients come in on board wanting to compete, I always establish that, all right, this is what we are trying to achieve. And I'm telling you straight up, this is probably how you're going to feel. And these are things that are required to get there. Are you currently in a good headspace? And are you currently, your lifestyle allow you to do all these things? Because, you know this is what I do, is that, you know, you're going to get pretty emotional, you know, even for guys, you know.
Massively. Yeah. My parents hated me when I used to compete.
You get emotional.
Sorry, and, that's really bad. My parents didn't hate me. My parents hated how I was behaving.
Yeah, exactly right. And then I think there is this stigma, I guess, you know, a lot of times, and you see people struggle, whether they're with their relationship, with their work and everything like that, and they sacrifice everything just to get on stage, which is not the right approach. Because at the end of the day, you know, getting ready to do a comp and getting ready to get on stage, like, that's your choice.
Sure.
Everyone else around you didn't change. It's you, the way you change. So you can't really expect everyone else to go through a comp with you just so, you know, they can feel, so they should treat you any differently and things like that.
Yeah.
Which happens a lot, right? It's not uncommon to see, like, you know, people go through breakups or lose their jobs, and which, you know, for what?
Yeah. You know. So my question with that then, who should compete? Who shouldn't compete?
Is that just a loaded question? That is not up to me to decide.
Sure. That's a good answer.
Up to the individual. And I'll just give a perfect example. Like last year, I had to tell two clients, pretty much right from the start. I said, well, they want to do a comp, and say, well, and then we, after a few weeks in, I just have an honest conversation. I say, I don't think you are in the right mindset and state to go through this. And I think it's going to cause, because if you can't even do this right now, and that means for the next 16, 20 weeks or whatever, it's going to be like hell.
Yeah.
And so this is, I think, what we should work on.
Yeah.
Spend a bit more time just building better consistency and things like that. Then we can decide. Just build, again, like I said, you know, focus on building a physique that's ready for the stage, as opposed to, or ready to compete, as opposed to doing a comp just because it's there, and then, you know,
awesome,
for the sake of doing it.
Sure.
So in regards to who should compete, who shouldn't compete, again, it's not up to me to decide, but I would say definitely talk to people, you know, find good coaches. There's so many great coaches out there. And
I'm just going to name four of them right now. If you're from Perth, you're listening to this and you're thinking about competing, either see Alan, see Dan England, see Alice Round, or see Alice Cousins.
Yeah.
That's your four people you should see. One of those four.
Obviously, I've spoken to them and talked to them, things like that. So, and I'm pretty sure they will all do the same thing to the clients. It's to being honest with them and say, you know, if you're not ready to compete, don't compete. You know, focus on other things and focus on building your health first, put your health first. Because like I say, going through comp prep isn't being stage ready, isn't a healthy state to be in mentally and physically. So having a good understanding of like, okay, that is what I'm going to take, and being able to have a lifestyle that allow you to do that financially, relationship, everything like that, because it does affect a lot of people, right? Like you said, it affected your parents.
Yeah.
Understand, you know, all those things out to account. And if you still think, yeah, I can do it. And some people do manage it very, very well. You know, I would say, like, for example, Harris, I'll take him for example. He managed everything very, very well.
I saw Harris at the end. He was a zombie.
And even that's a perfect example, right? Even for someone like that, even though he can manage everything well, it's still massive. Going to feel like shit.
Yeah.
Because being that lean and getting stage ready.
If it's easy, everyone would do it. Yeah.
So I guess what we're trying to do is just trying to help a client get there as healthy as possible, whilst making sure they don't make the minimal amount of sacrifice required to achieve the most optimal results. Awesome. And that kind of like just really comes down to finding that balance of like, you know, what's suitable for them and things like that, and change accordingly and work on that. I think mindset's important as well. And understanding, you know, being able to commit to that and make, don't let competing affect your personal life is very, very important. And I'm still figuring that out as well, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's cool. All right. Mm. Alan, Flex Success, where should people get in contact with you?
So pretty much we're on Facebook, Instagram, and
should they contact Flex or should they contact you?
Just contact Flex, man. So obviously I have an admin that does all the inquiry and things like that. Okay. So flexsuccess.com.au.
Awesome. Be the best, I'll put in the links. Diet, smart, not hard.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate that.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome to have a chat.
Awesome. Thank you, Alan. Appreciate it. I think we're done.
Yeah.
Peace.
That's it for this episode. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, then make sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher for your chance to win a Perth Fit Fam t-shirt, which we'll be giving away at the end of every show. And just remember that if you love what we do, then you can become a supporter of Perth Fit Fam by joining our fan subscriptions on Facebook, and you'll gain access to exclusive content, discounts on merch, and more. Thanks for tuning in, and stay tuned for more of the Perth fitness scene to come.